Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Pei Gimel. We left off on Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis, and we are about 5 lines from the end of the page. Vamid Ketani Seifa on Pei Beis Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by Ilana and Jonathan Silber in commemoration of the art site of Jonathan's brother Baruch Daniel Ben Zev Levi HaKohen, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah, and it's also sponsored by Ken and Marcy Kapel in memory of Ken's grandfather Jacob Kapel, whose yard site was yesterday, Yaakov Emanuel Ben Chaim Zev Olav Shalom, and in memory of Ken's mother Evelyn Kapel, whose 50 yard site is tomorrow, Avigail Bas Chaim Shraga Feivel, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is we're going to pick up on the discussion of androgynous and whether an androgynous has a din of a Vaday Zachar or a Safek Zachar. And the Gemara is going to tell us the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. We're going to discuss what exactly the sheet of Rabbi Yossi is. Did it change from a Mishnah to a Braisa? Do we pass like the Mishnah? Do we pass like the Braisa? And in that context, we're also going to learn about three other halachos that Rabbi Yossi taught. And we're going to have a discussion, Rav and Shmuel, about those halachos that Rabbi Yossi taught. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how the Mishnah spoke about when a tumtum gets torn open, do we naturally assume that if it turns out to be a male, that he is a sris, because someone was a tumtum, probably he's got some sort of reproductive problem, and therefore he is a sris, or do we not assume that a tumtum is necessarily a sris? And then we're going to go back to a discussion about androgynous, and specifically, if you assume that an androgynous is a zachar, so you chayev skila for being boel an androgynous bimakom nakvuso or only bimakom zachruso, meaning he has the reproductive organs of both a male and a female. So normally, if one commits mishkav zachar, so there's a particular orifice of the body that's committed through. So what if a person is boel an androgynous, but not through that orifice of the body, but through the nekeva, through the makom of the nakvus that he has. So that's going to be the discussion toward the end of the daf. So let's begin. We're holding again pei beis amud beis, and we're going to pick up from vahami dektani seifa. So again, the Gemara is going to ask on the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that an androgynous is a zachar gomor. So it says Gemara vahami dektani seifa, but the seifa of the Mishnah says Rabbi Lezer, androgynous chayev no skila kizachar, that you chayev skila for being bal and androgynous, just like being bal and zachar. But that implies mechlal de tanakama sukim safkalei. If that's just in the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that says that you chayev skila for being bal and androgynous, that implies that the tanakama, meaning Rabbi Yossi was the tanakama, was mesupak whether the androgynous is a zachar gamur and whether you're going to be chayev skila, or maybe he's only a suffix zachar, and you can't be a chayiv skila on being bold and androgynous because you don't know that he's a zachar. So don't you see it's a riot to Reish Lakish that Rabbi Yossi holds that an androgynous is a suffix zachar, not like Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that Rabbi Yossi says an androgynous is a vaday zachar. So says the Gemara, no, that's not the machlokas between the Tanna Kama and Rabbi Lezer, whether he's a zachar vaday in your chayiv skila or he's a suffix and you're going to be potter. Bein lamar, mifshat pshitale. Both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan would agree within the view of Rabbi Yochanan. Would understand that both Rabbi Yossi and the Rabban would agree that he's definitely a zachar in Yechayev Skila because he's a zachar. Ikeve Nayu Skila B'Shnei Makomos. What they argue about is whether Yechayev Skila when you boil him in the Makom Nakvuso as well, or are you only Chayev Skila B'Makom Zachruso? And as I mentioned before, we're going to come back to that discussion at the end of the daf. Demar Savar, where the Tanakama holds Chayev Nov Skila B'Shnei Makomos, not only when you're boil him bizachruso or yechayev skila, but even binakvuso umar savar kizachar. And then comes along Rabbi Eliezer and he says, no, yechayev on being bol and androgynous the same way for being bol and zachar, which means physically the same way as being Bo'el Zachar. But if you're Bo'el the androgynous in a way that is not at all like being Bo'el Zachar, then you're not going to be Chayev Skila. So it turns out that the Tanakama is more machmir about the Chayev Skila of an androgynous, that he expands the Chayev Skila beyond Makom Zachruso, even to Makom Nakvuso. But everybody agrees that he has a din of a Zachar, that he's considered to be a male. So now the Gemara says, okay, how do we pass him? Do we pass him like Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, that androgynous is a Zachar gamur, and therefore an androgynous can be machal ishto betruma. If he's a kohen and he marries a woman, he can be machal or truma because he's really a male. So amar rav less of the masisim coming brisa. And no, we would not paskin like our mishnah because there's a brisa that indicates that Rabbi Yossi holds otherwise. That our mishnah that within which Rabbi Yossi says that an androgynous is a full fledged male and he can be machal his wife truma is rejected in favor of a brisa where Rabbi Yossi apparently had changed his mind and holds that he's only a suffix zachar. Where do we have such a brisa? Titania, Rabbi Yossi, Amar androgynous bria b'fnei atzma, that an androgynous is a bria b'fnei atzma. He's his own creature. V'lo echriu b'chachamim im zachar im nekeva. And the chum were never able to be machriya one way or the other, whether he's a zachar or a nekeva. Tosus points out in Dibra Maskel bria that bria b'fnei atzma does not mean that he's a third category, that there is a third gender, that there is male, female, and androgynous, that he's neither male nor female, like we find normally. That's what b'fnei atzma means. Koi, birya b'fnei atzma, or something like that. We generally, that's what it would normally mean, but over here, it's not what it means. Over here, it means it's a suffix. And Rabbi Yossi is saying, it's like Rabbi Yossi says, he explains himself, v'lo hichriu bo chachamim. If an androgynous was really a birya b'fnei atzma, then kein hichriu bo chachamim, the chamar machriya, that he's his own gender, that he's a third category. So by virtue of the fact that that Rabbi Yossi says, v'lo hichriu bo chachamim, so that tells you that birya b'fnei atzma over here means that it's a suffix. Not all Rishonim agree to Tosfos. The Ramban explains that no, it is a birya chadasha. It is not a suffix. The lashon birya b'fnei atzma, wherever we have it in all of Shas, always means that it's not a suffix. And the Ramban brings a raya because we paskin like Rav paskins like Rabbi Yossi in the Brisa that he's a birya b'fnei atzma, and still Rav is going to say on Amud Beis that yichayv lav skila mishnei mekomos. But if he's a suffix, how can he be yichayv lav skila at all? He might be a nekeva. So misuffix can't be yichayv a person skila. So it must be that he's a birya. He's not a zachar. He's not a nekeva. And when the Rabbi Yossi says that phrase of aloi chriu b'chachamim, it means that they were not machriya which min, because there are Simani Zachar and Simani Nekeva, and that's why they made a min shlishi. Meaning, if the multiple choice exam only has two options, lo ichri, but chacham, the chacham chose neither of the two existing options. Rather, they said birya b'fnei atzma. It's its own third category. They didn't say lo hikiru bo, but lo hichriu bo. They were not machriya, meaning they never stated definitively that he's a zachar, nor definitively that he's a nekeva. Rather, they stated that he's some sort of third category. That is the shita of the Ramban. The shita of the Rash is that an androgynous has three sfeikos. He might be a zachar. He might be a nekeva, or he might be a min shlishi, meaning mamish lo chriya bo chachamim. Lo chriya bo chacham does not mean that they declared him birya b'fnei atzma, it's that they weren't sure. He might be a zachar, might be a nekeva, might be a birya b'fnei atzma. But anyway, the way Tosfos understands that birya b'fnei atzma over here means that we know exactly that we know exactly what he is. It means that he's a suffix, that we don't know whether he's male or female. So says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, why does Rav say that the Mishnah's rejected in favor of the Brisa? Meaning in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi was certain that he's a Zachar. In the Brisa, Biri b'fnei atzma lo l'chri b'chacham, whether he's in the cave or a Zachar. And we said that we're passing like the Brisa. Adraba, less of the Brisa, mekami masnisin. Why would you pass like the Brisa over the Mishnah? Shouldn't we say that we reject the Brisa in favor of the Mishnah? And in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says that our androgynous is a Zachar gamur. So the Gemara is really asking, why is it we don't reject the Brisa, and the Mishnah has two deos in Tanaim with Rabbi Yossi, and then the Svar Pshuta is that the Brisa is rejected in favor of the Mishnah, and instead we're saying that Rabbi Yossi was chozer bo mi Brisa. Just say it's a machlokas tanoim what Rabbi Yossi held, and whenever it's a machlokas tanoim what somebody holds, a mishnah is more authoritative than a brisa. Meaning there are two ways to look at it. We definitely have a stira between Rabbi Yossi says in the mishnah and what Rabbi Yossi says in the brisa. So whenever you have a stira, one possibility is that someone changed their mind at some point. The other possibility is it was two later tanoim arguing what the earlier tana said. So if he changed his mind, say in achinami, probably the brisa is the later one. So he changed his mind to what he says in the brisa. But if it's two tanoim arguing arguing about what Rabbi Yossi said, the Mishnah is more authoritative than the Braisa. We should have followed the Mishnah. So it says, Rabbi Shafke, Rabbi Yossi, the Barzuge, Shema Mina Hadarbe. No, because in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi was joined by Rabbi Shimon in that Shita, and in the Braisa, he's all alone. So from the fact that he abandoned his partner in the Braisa, and that he's saying something without Rabbi Shimon backing him up, that tells me that Rabbi Yossi must have changed his mind. That Rabbi Yossi initially was together with Rabbi Shimon in one Shita, that Androgynous is Zachar Gamur, and then when he authored the Braisa, he had broken ranks from Rabbi Shimon, and instead insisted that an Androgynous is a Biri B'Fnatzma, and Lo Echriu B'Chachamim, and the Chachamim were never able to be Machriya, what he is precisely. Shmuel Amar, less of the Braisa Mekabim Masnisin. So while Rav is the one that said that we take the Braisa over the Mishnah, Shmuel says, no, we take the Mishnah over the Braisa. That Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, where he says an Androgynous is Zachar Gamur, that's how we paskin. So, frek the Gemara, why would Shmuel say that the Mishnah is more authoritative than the Braisa? Adraba, less than Masnisin Mekame Braisa. Maybe we should take the Braisa over the Mishnah, Tashamina Le Shmuel, the Chayish Lichida'a. Because we do find that Shmuel, in other places in Shas, such as back on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, where Shmuel was Machmir for the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that's in the Mishnah over there in Megillah Daf Yudches, that Shmuel is Choshish for Das Yachid, that even when there are Rabbim that are Mekilim, so Shmuel is Choshish Lichida'a. That's Shmuel's thing. He's Choshish for Das Yachid. So over here also, even though according to the Tana of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi holds an Androgynous is Zachar Gamur, we should be Choshish for what the Tana in the Braisa says, that Rabbi Yossi holds that he's a Safek. So says Gemara, no, Hani Mili, Kilomis Akramas Nisin. When is it that Shmuel is Choshish for a Yachid, and he's Machmir like the Dea of a Yachid? That's only when the Mishnah is not uprooted because of a Divrei Yachid, that the Yachid is just more Machmir. Aval Kimis Akramas Nisin, when the Mishnah is uprooted based on Divrei Yachid, like over here, where the Braisa says that Rabbi Yossi holds that it's a Safek, Lo Chai. Shmuel is not going to be Choshish for the Das Yachid in the Braisa. Instead, he's going to pass on like the Mishnah, even the Kula. And because if Shmuel were to be Machmir like the Braisa, when there's a Mishnah Lehebich, it would turn out that the Mishnah is totally uprooted. So Shmuel is not ready to erase Mishnayos. He's Choshish for Shita Yechida'a, but when there are two Deos in the Mishnah, but he's not ready to erase Mishnayos based on wanting to be Choshish for a Das Yachid. So this is the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, that we have two Deos in Rabbi Yossi, where the Rabbi Yossi holds that an Androgynous is Zachar Vadai, that's our Mishnah. We have a Braisa that says that he's a Brir B'Fnatzva, Lo Ichriu B'Chachamim, and Rav says we pass him like the Braisa, Shmuel says we pass him like the Mishnah. So the Gemara explains, what taka is the halacha by an androgynous? Sa'ami be Rav, mishmei de Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi by androgynous. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, this is assuming, about an androgynous, that he is a Zachar Gamur. And by the way, once we're saying what Rav holds, where Rav holds that we pass him like Rabbi Yossi, Uba Harkava. There's a second halacha where we pass like Rabbi Yossi, and that is by Harkava. So not only by androgynous, our discussion, do we pass like Rabbi Yossi that androgynous is Zachar Gamur, but also in a separate din called Harkava, which we're going to see soon what that is, we pass like Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel Amar, Bekoshi Ubekiddish. Shmuel says we pass like Rabbi Yossi about two halachos, but not the two that you just mentioned. Two totally separate halachas, by a din called Koshi, which we'll see what that is, and by a din called Kiddush, which is not Kiddush. We'll see what that is as well. So there are two other halachas where we pass like Rabbi Yossi. So Androgynous Hadi Amrin. So when the Amri Bei Rav said in the name of Rav that we pass like Rabbi Yossi by Androgynous, that's our discussion, that Rabbi Yossi holds that an Androgynous is Zachar Gamor. What about these other three halachas? The second one that Rav says we pass like Rabbi Yossi on, and the two that Shmuel says we pass like Rabbi Yossi on. So Harkava, the din of Harkava, is Ditnan. It's a Mishnah Mesecha Shviyas. That ain't notin, that you're not supposed to plant a tree, ve'in mavrichin, nor should you be mavrich a gefen. Mavrichin means that you take one of the branches and you bury it in the ground, and then it takes root where you bury that the end of the branch in the ground, and it grows out of the ground in that spot. Tosus Mesechs Bab Basra and Daf Pei Gimel says it's called mavrichin because it's the bending over of the branch is like a person who's korea abirchav. It's like a person who's bowing on his knees. So that's why we call it mavrichin, as a lashon of bowing on one's knees. So as machlokes in the Rishonim, whether this din of havracha is only a din by a gefen or it's a din by all ilanos, the Rash writes that it's only by a gefen, whereas the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos says that the lashon of avracha is shaykh by the other ilanos as well. But anyway, ein notin vein mavrichin vein markivin. We also don't graft a branch from one tree onto another. Erev Shvi'is pops mishosh milam fei Rosh Hashanah, within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah on Erev Shvi'is, because we assume that when from the time that you graft or bury the branch in the ground or plant, it takes 30 days for it to take. And we don't want to do that within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah, because then it's ki'ilu you're planting during the Shemitah year itself. And if you did so within 30 days of Shemitah, you're going to have to uproot it, because the klita is going to happen during the Shemitah year itself. That is the Tanakama, meaning we're quoting a Mishnah in Misach HaShviyah. So the Tanakama says that the time frame that you have to refrain from these activities prior to the Shemitah year is a 30-day time frame. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it doesn't take 30 days for it to be kolet. If it doesn't happen within the first 3 days, it's not going to happen. And therefore, you only need to refrain from these activities 3 days prior to Shemitah. You don't need to do it 30 days prior to Shemitah. But, and this is why we're quoting this, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, Shtei Shabbosos, not 30 days, nor 3 days, but somewhere in between. 2 weeks is the time it takes from the Shas Netiyah, Havracha, or Harkava, in order for it to take, and therefore you're not supposed to do those things within 2 weeks of the Shemitah. So once we quote this Mishnah, the Gemara mentions a Memra that explains the Mishnah, that when we say these time frames of 30 days, 3 days, 2 weeks, it's not to be taken literally that that's the amount of time prior to Shavuos that you're not allowed to do these things. Rather, if you say that it's 30 days, it's really 60 days, because already 30 days prior to Shemitah, we're already being noeg tosefes Shavuos. So you're not allowed to plant within the 30 days prior to Shemitah anyway, because the 30 days prior to Shemitah have a full din of Shemitah itself. So if you need to leave yourself some leeway before Shemitah, what you really need to do is leave yourself some leeway before the 30 days before Shemitah. This the Gemara darshins in the first parak of Moed Katan from the pasuk Becharishu Bekatzir Tishbos, which is an extra pasuk because it already says Sancha Lo Sizra VeKarmecha Lo Sizmar. So it's telling me about the Charishel Erev Shviyah Shenichnas LeShviyah. That's what the Gemara darshins. Now, Becharish Bekatzir Tishbos is telling me not to do malachos even on Erev Shviyas HaNichnas LeShviyas, which is 30 days before. And L'divrei Omer Shlosha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, well, that it takes 3 days for the Haklata to happen, Tzarich Shlosha Ushloshim. It's 3 days plus 30 days. And L'divrei Omer Shtei Shabbosos, Tzarich Shtei Shabbosos Ushloshim. It's 2 weeks plus 30 days, meaning all three opinions, you have to add 30 days to their opinion to know exactly how far off you have to be from Shemitah in order to still be allowed to do Netiyah and Havracha and Harkava. So anyway, that is the second din of Rabbi Yossi. So again, Rav says we pass on Rabbi Yossi in two places, about Androgynous, that's our discussion that an Androgynous is a Zachar Gamur, and about Harkava. And that's this discussion that Rabbi Yossi holds, that it's a 2 week time period prior to the 30 days, prior to Shemitah, that one must refrain from Harkava Si'ilan. Shmuel said that there are two other places that we pass on Rabbi Yossi. Ushmuel Amar, Bekoshi, the Kiddush. So what are these two things? So Koshi, Ditznan Koshi, is a reference to what the Mishnah discusses in Nida, that Kama Yehi Kishuya, how long prior to the to her birth, a pregnant woman, prior to giving birth, may see some blood. She may bleed and she may feel some pain. So at what point do we say that that blood that she's finding is Dam Ziva? And at what point do we say, no, it's Dam Machnas Leda and is therefore not Dam Ziva? Generally speaking, the halacha is, a woman sees Dam that comes from the uterus, she becomes a Nida, unless she sees Dam during the Yud Aleph Yom Shebei Nida L'Nida. Within each cycle, we assume that there are 11 days where blood that comes from the uterus will not make her a Nida, rather it will make her a Zava. And a Zava has different rules than a Nida. The halacha is, a Zava who sees Dam for 1 day is Tameh that day, she goes to the mikveh the next day. If she sees Dam for 2 days, she's Tameh those days, goes to the mikveh the next day. But if she sees Dam for 3 days, she becomes a Zava Gedola, and she requires Shiva Nakiyim. Nowadays, nowadays we already accepted Chumras Rabbi Zeiro, where Rabbi Zeiro said that Benos Yisrael Lechmiru Al Atzman Shafil Rose Tipas Tam Chad Al Yoshesal Shemilkiim, that they always assume every time a woman becomes Tamei, we assume she's a Zava Gedola. I always tell Chassanim that even though we call this Hilchos Nida, really it's Hilchos Zava Gedola, meaning all the halachas that we actually observe are the halachas of Zava Gedola, because even though we know she's probably a Nida most of the time, but nevertheless we take the Chumra that everybody is treated like a Zava Gedola. But the thing is that a woman only becomes a Zava if it's Zava Machmas Atzma, if it's just her body doing its natural thing to become a Zava. But if she has something that's causing blood to come out during the Yemei Ziva that's external to her normal body functions, such as a Leda, such as giving birth, then that will not make her a Zava. Then she's not going to have the din of a Zava. So let's say a woman is in labor, she's experiencing contractions, and then she sees a little bit of dam, even though it may be during the Yemei Ziva. Difficult to figure out how that could happen during the Yemei Ziva. This is Machlokas Rambam Ramban, how we cheshbin the Yemei Ziva, when the Yemei Ziva are, where the Ramban says, a woman becomes a Nida, the next, so she's Tamei for 7 days, then the next 11 days are Yemei Ziva, and then going forward is Yemei Nida until the next time she gets her period. Meaning whenever she gets her period, it could be a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later, 10 months later, the next time she gets her period, she's a Nida. It's not going to be Yemei Ziva anymore until those Yemei Nida are over. So according to the Ramban, it's a little bit difficult. Meaning this is a woman in her 9th month of pregnancy or 8th month, you know, toward the end of her pregnancy. When exactly, how is she still in the Yud Aleph Yom Shebe Nida L'Nida, unless you say she was bleeding during pregnancy, which is an unusual thing to happen, that she's going to be bleeding consistently during pregnancy. The Rambam makes a little more sense of it. The Rambam holds that the way we cheshbin Yemei Nida and Yemei Ziva is you go back to the very first time she ever got her period and you say that, well, those 7 days are Yemei Nida, and then you just start cheshbinning on the calendar 7-11, 7-11, 7-11, 7-11 going forward. But really, Misvara, that makes no sense, meaning there's no rhyme or reason. We assume Yemei Ziva is like an anomaly, that we don't expect her to see dam during the Yiral Yom Shebe Nida L'Nida, that you would expect it during Yemei Nida. But according to the Rambam, it's 7-11, 7-11, 7-11. Most of the time it's Yemei Ziva, and most of the time she gets her period, she's going to end up being a Zava and not a Nida. It makes it sound like that's the norm almost. But anyway, however it happens, the question is, how much prior to giving birth, how much time prior to giving birth, do we attribute the dam that she sees to the Leda versus Ziva? So Rav Meir Omer, O Arbaim, O Chamishim Yom. 40 or 50 days in advance of having the baby, she may already be experiencing some contractions, and that is enough to make her not a Zava. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Daya Chodsha. Now, we're not told the Ri'iyas Dam so early on in the Vlad. If she sees 40 or 50 days before the Leda, she's a Zava. It's only if she sees during the 9th month that we can attribute it to the Koshi HaLeda and say that she is not a Zava. But Rabbi Yossi, again, that's where we're bringing all this. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Ein Kisho Yosef Mishnei Shabbosos, that we cannot be Tola Bidam Kishoi more than 2 weeks prior to the Leda. But if she saw Dam before that, she's like a regular Zava. She requires Sfira Shivanakiyim like any other Zava. So Shmuel saying, we paskin like Rabbi Yosi, that the period of time during which we attribute the Dam to the Kisha Leda is within 2 weeks of the birth. And what was the final halacha that Shmuel said we passed in the Rabbi Yossi? Kiddush. So what? Kiddush of what? Shabbos Kiddush, Yantav Kiddush? None of that. Titnan, the following. Hamasakich gafno al gabi tvuasor shal chavero. If you take your gefen, your grapevines, and you run them over your friend's grain. So there's an issue called kilei akerem. But now you're taking your vines and you're growing them over someone else's tavua, that's going to aser everything as kilei akerem. Hareza kidesh. So that taroves as is aser mishum klayim. It's kilei akerem. V'chayiv b'achriyuso. And the person who ran his grapevines over his friend's grain is chayiv to pay for the grain that he just ruined. He has to pay for the value of that tavua, which is now aser b'ana. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, but Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, they disagree. They say, Ein Adam Oser, Davar She'eino Shelo, that a person does not have the ability to ask for something that does not belong to him. Your friend's grain doesn't belong to you, so you can't make it Kilei Akerem. Because if you take your own grapevine and run it over your own grain, so then it's all yours, then everything is Kilei Akerem. But you can't go and ask for somebody else's stuff. You don't have the ability to ask for somebody else's stuff. So Tosas says, really? Tosas raises the question, why would this be any different than your cook? cooking a part of chicken soup, I take a big fat piece of nevela and I drop it in your chicken soup. I've just asked for Davashen or Shalom. Are you going to tell me, no, the chicken soup is still kosher. I don't care that I took a chazer and nevela and dropped it in. So Tosis points out that there's a difference between something that's purely physical versus, meaning, here's where Eino the Mosa Davashen or Shalom for sure applies. Let's say I walk out of my house one morning and I have a very bright blue car, so it stands out. So I see that my neighbor is so taken by my car that he's bowing down to my car, that he's turned my car into an avodah zarah, and he bows to it every morning. But it's my car, it's not his car. He doesn't have the right to bow down to my car. Ain't no the davar sheino shalom. Regardless of what my neighbor does, my car is still going to be mutter. Because that's totally the machshava. There's nothing physical about that in terms of the isser. It's his machshava that he thinks that the Hyundai is a is an elohus. That's his problem. That's not my problem. That's not going to make it usser. So that would be something that's purely in the person's head. Then you have things that are purely physical, like nevela, chazer. I drop nevela into a soup. But then you have like these combination things. Kilei HaKerem is a physical thing that's happening, but it only assers when you intend for it to happen. I mean, if a person didn't realize and his vines start growing into his grain, it only becomes usser once he realizes that it's happening and he allows it to continue. So it is tully on his raton, it's tully on his das, but it's a physical thing that's happening that's also tully on his das. So Tos says we still will apply Ein Adam Asur Davar Sheino Shelo as long as there's any element of das that's involved, as long as it's not a purely physical matter. So that's why Ein Adam Asur Davar Sheino Shelo applies over here. There is discussions in Poskim. How far do we take Ein Adam Asur Davar Sheino Shelo? The Ramah Paskins that are in Orach Chaim Siman Shin Tes is the halacha of Basis of Ledavar Asur. Dine Muktza. So the Shintas and Shinyud discuss the concept of a basis l'davar asr. So the Rama writes, if a person puts a dvar muktza on his friend's stuff, we don't say that it becomes a basis l'davar asr. I mean, you have an item that's perfectly non-muktza, and I'm going to come before Shabbos and I'm going to take my cell phone and I'm just going to put it on top of your item. Now you're not allowed to use your item. It's a basis l'davar asr. So says the Rama, no, einad mosa davar shel chavero shel omidaito. I can't answer your thing by me putting my muktza on it. The Mishbura says that if he does it litovas chavero and the friend would want it, like I take a kli and I put it there mibod yom under a ner in order that the ner will drop into the kli and there's not going to be a fire in your house, and then the droppings of the ner came in before Ben Hashmashos and it stayed there till after Ben Hashmashos, so the kli becomes a basis for the ner and it's also to be metaltalit the entire Shabbos, even after the ner is put out, and a number of achrim say that's okay, because then you know that the person would really want it. And the Sefer Mincha Shabbos says, what happens if a woman puts a muktza item on a kli heter, and she does it without asking her husband whether he needs to use that kli, and he's not happy about it? So do we say like ishto kigufo, she put it so she could make a basis out of her husband's stuff, or do we say that no, you need the approval of the person who wants to use that kli? So the Sefer Mincha Shabbos says it doesn't become an aser. Yad Isha Kiyad Baila, that's L'Zechuso, not L'Chavaso, the Yad Isha Kiyad Baila. So she's not going to make a buses over his things. But that's a din about Eino D'Mosa Davar She'eino Shalom. That's this concept. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to the discussion about an androgynous, where we said that Rav Paskins like Rabbi Yossi by androgynous and by Harkava. So ask Gemara, Ibayilu, by androgynous Mali Yamar Shmuel, would Shmuel Paskins like Rabbi Yossi about an androgynous as well? So Tashma Adam Shmuel Aravanan, less of the Brice of the Kami Masnisin. We already discussed in Laman Aleph, where Shmuel said, we reject the Brisa and we accept the Mishnah, and therefore Shmuel did say we talk a pasuk like Rabbi Yossi that an androgynous is a zachar gamur. So Shmuel does hold like the Amri de Rav that the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, even though Shmuel said we pasuk like Rav on two other matters. It's not to the exclusion of where Rav paskened like Rabbi Yossi. He'll agree that we paskened like Rabbi Yossi about androgynous. But what about Harkava, Mali Yom Shmuel? What about the second thing that Rav paskened like Rabbi Yossi on, with the Harkava, the 2 weeks prior to Shviyas, or prior to the 30 days before Shviyas, that Harkava's asur? So Tashma, Damli Shmuel Ravanan, Tani Kaman Yomar Shlosha Ushloshim. Now that he didn't pasken like Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel paskened that it's 3 days plus 30 days, not 2 weeks plus 30 days. Okay, what about the two places where Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Does Rav agree to those? So Koshi Mali Amar Rav. Would Rav agree to the din of Dam Koshi that Shmuel said that for 2 weeks prior to Leida it has the din of Dam Koshi? Take it. We're not sure what Rav would say. We leave that unresolved. Kiddush Mali Amar Rav. What would Rav say about the din of Kilea Kerem that Shmuel had said that we pass like Rabbi Yossi that you'd have to pay for the damages of being markiv your or Rabbi Yossi had said which one was right? Rabbi Yossi said that that ain't the most of Shlo that you would not have to pay for the damages because it wouldn't even be considered Kilea Kerem. Would Rav agree to that? Some Rabbi Yossi Tashma Dom Rav Hunam Rav. Ain't halacha Rabbi Yossi that we don't pass in the Rabbi Yossi when it comes to the kiddush, the asring of the kilei akerem. So you see that Rav disagrees with Shmuel. Shmuel passes like Rabbi Yossi. Rav does not. So I'm like Abaye says to Rav Yosef, who quoted Rav Huna in the name of Rav. My chazit samchasaha. Why are you somich on what Rav Huna says in the name of Rav? Smoke aha. Why aren't you somich on what a different amora says in the name of Rav? Dam Rav Ada Amarav halacha Rabbi Yossi. That we do pass like Rabbi Yossi bekiddush. So apparently we have two later amoraim that disagree what Rav said about the kilei akerem case, whether we pass like Rabbi Yossi or not. So why are you so certain that Rav that the accurate version of Rav does not pass like Rabbi Yossi? Maybe Rav Adam Rav is the accurate version of Rav, and we do pass like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara explains why it is that Rav Yosef prefers to be somich on Rav Huna in the name of Rav rather than Rav Ada in the name of Rav. So Amri Be Rav Manu Rav Huna. Whenever we have in Shas the phrase Amri Be Rav, it always means Rav Huna. Rav Huna was always the one there in Rav Shir, listening to Rav's Piskei Halacha. So Amri Be Rav is always Rav Huna. Rav Huna Amar Ein Halacha. And therefore Rav Huna is the most authoritative of the Talmidim of Rav, much more so than Rav Ada. And Rav Huna said that Ein Halacha, so it's Ein Halacha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tumtum. Rabbi Yehuda says that if a Tumtum gets ripped open and he turns out to be a Zachar, he can't do Chalitza because he has a din of a Sris. So Amar Rabbi Ami, my Avodai Rabbi Yehuda the Tumtum Deviri. What's Rabbi Yehuda going to do about the Tumtum in the town of Viri? So Sfuah Be Krasai of the Ikra, where they put him on a chair and his skin opened up and he turned out to be a Zachar. Va'olad Sheva Benin. And then he had seven sons after that. So how can you say that he's automatically a Sris if he's a Tumtum? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lach, Rabbi Yehuda would tell you, Chazar Albanav Me'ayin Hei. Maybe do a genetic test and see where those whose sons those really are, because they are not his, meaning he's not convinced just by the fact that you have that he had seven sons. We don't necessarily know who the father is, right? Unlike by a mother, where you know for sure who the mother is. She was one that was pregnant. You don't always know for sure exactly who the father is. That's one of the reasons to say when you daven for a chola, you say Ben the mother's name because you want to make sure that you get it right. Chamir sakanta meyusuri. You want to make sure for every tzel to be choshish for every possible suffix when you're dealing with sakana of davening for a chola, even though normally you'd go with the father's name. Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't, the tumtum shouldn't do chalitza because he might turn out to be a Swiss. You might open up him up and he'll be a Swiss, so he shouldn't be doing chalitza. So it says, that's what you're concerned about? Atu called the mikra Zacharavi? You're so convinced automatically that he's going to be a male? He might even be a female, and that's why you shouldn't do chalitza. So Achi Kamar, Shami Yikrav Nimtza Nekeva, Vafilu Nimtza Zachar, Shami Yimtza Swiss Chama. You're right, meaning the Tumtum should not be doing chalitza because maybe he's a woman, and even if he's a male, he's a Swiss and he shouldn't be doing chalitza. My Benayu, what's the chiluk between the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and the Sheet of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? That Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's not chalitz because he's a Swiss Vadai, and Rabbi Yossi holds he's not chalitz because he's maybe a Swiss. Either way, he can't do chalitza. So Gemara says two nafkaminas. Amar Rava livsol b'makom achin. Let's say there's a tumtum and there are other brothers as well, and the tumtum did chalitza already. So if you assume he's a Swiss Vadai, that was worthless, so the brothers could still do yibum. But if you assume he's a suffix Swiss, maybe the chalitza did count for something, and therefore the other brothers cannot do yibum. They need to do chalitza just to be safe, but they cannot do yibum. And the other nafkamina is v'lachlut shalob b'makamach nika benayu. What if there are no other brothers? The only surviving brother after this man died without children is this tumtum. So if you say that a tumtum is a vaday sris, the woman doesn't need chalitza; she's free to go. But if the tumtum is a suffix sris, you got to do chalitza just to be safe to make sure to do chalitza. Okay. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Abba, Achua de Rabbi Yehuda bar Zavdi, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Androgynous chayav nal skila mishtei makomos. Going back to that discussion now, when one is boiled in androgynous, you chayav skila. Is that only if you're boiled the androgynous bizachruso, or what if you're boiled the androgynous binakvuso? So an androgynous, you chayav skila if you're boiled him mishtei makomos, whether it's bizachruso or whether it's binakvuso. So meisvei Reb Lazar Amar androgynous chayav nal skila kivizachar. That Rabbi Eliezer said in our Mishnah that you only chayav skila if you're boiled in androgynous the way you would be boiled a zachar. That it's only in the zachrus, in his zachrus, but if it's in the area of his nakvus, you're going to be potter. So says Gemara, who the Amar Kiyai Tana? Yeah, he's assuming like the Tana of the following brisa, that Rabbi Simai Yomer and Drognus Chayav Nal Skila Mishtei Mekamos, that Enochinami, Rabbi Lazar in our Mishnah said only kizachar, but there is another Tana that holds that one is chayav for being boiled in androgynous, whether you boil him like a zachar or like a nekeva. So my time at the Rabbi Simai, why does Rabbi Simai say that even if you boil binakvuso, you chayav skila? Amar Rava Baramduri, Asbarali, Baramduri explained to me the basis of Rabbi Yossi is he darshens the pasuk as follows. The ezachar lo tishkav mishkevei isha. The lashon of mishkevei is the lashon rabim. Ezu zachar sheyesh bo shnei mishkavos. How can one do that? How is it physically possible that a person is being boel a male and there are multiple ways to do it? There are multiple entry points. Where do you ever have a male that's shnei mishkavos? Haviomer, is that androgynous? That must be that it's an androgynous. So he has a nakvus as well. V'rabbanan, and Rabbi Eliezer, who we're referring to over here as the Rabbanan, the Ritva says that we call Rabbi Eliezer the Rabbanan because we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer over here. Normally we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, so we would highlight that it's only Rabbi Eliezer, but over here we paskin like him. So the Rabbanan who says that you're only chayiv for being bal and androgynous bizachruso, what's he going to do with the pasuk of mishkevei? So avagav di'is pei shnei mishkavos as zachar k'siv. Yes, he has shnei mishkavos, but you're not chayiv skila for both mishkavos. You're only chayiv skila for es zachar, for the male mishkav. V'rabbanan zachar greida minalahu mi ve'es. And the Gemara explains that if the entire pasuk is about an androgynous, that someone who's baal in the zachrus of an androgynous who has shtei mishkavos is chayiv skila. So Rabbi Eliezer, how's he going to know that? Where is he going to learn regular mishkav zachar, not with an androgynous, with just a regular man, that that's an isra skila? There's no additional pasuk in the Torah for mishkav zachar. So he darshens from ve'es zachar is l'rabos every zachar, not only an androgynous, which is fascinating. Which says, it means that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the main iser of in the Torah of Mishkav Zachar is about an androgynous, and only Derech Agav, a riboy, a ve'es, we learn the regular iser of Mishkav Zachar with a regular person. Be'isha shaloka darka minalahu. So it says more another detail, both according to Rabbi Simai and according to Rabbi Eliezer, if from the word Mishkavei we learn that an androgynous, we learn the din of an androgynous, be'isha shaloka darka minalahu. How do I know that Mishkavisha shaloka darka counts as a bia, someone who's boel an isha that's asura to him with a bia shaloka darka? How do I know that counts as a bia? May isha, that it could have said vezachar lo tishkav mishkevei or lo tishkav mishkevei zachar, from the fact that it says mishkevei isha. So we learn that an isha has shnei mishkavos as well. That since that either entry point, so to speak, of an isha is also considered a mishkav. That's also considered a bia. Amrav shizvi amrav chisa lo lekol amrav lazer androgynous zachar ma'al yehu shema ta'omer kein b'mukdash and yikdash. We don't say that an androgynous is a zachar full fledged in all. Because if that were true, if someone were makdish a behemoth that was an androgynous, then it should have a kedusha saguf just like a behemoth's hegdish that's kosher lekarban. And yet we know that that's not true. We know that a behemoth that you're makdish as a carbon that's an androgynous does not have kedusha sakarban. And Bezrim tomorrow we'll pick up with umina landelo kadash. How do we know that? Where do we find that we say that it's not kodosh if you are makdish a behemoth that is an androgynous? Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Yeah.